It's the best, hands down.
It's crystal clear.
I love it. The things you can make are awesome.
No one else has quality epoxy like this.
It's easy to mix.
Tim is such a wealth of knowledge.
It's gotta be iCoat.
Welcome to the Resin Mastery Podcast, exploring iCoat epoxy.
Alrighty guys, welcome back to Resin Mastery. It's Rachel and I'm here with my co-host Ian. How are you doing today, Ian?
Rachel, it's great to see you back. I know you're building up to your wedding coming up, and there's a lot of great things going on at present, which I'm really excited about too. Some of the things I've actually seen sent from customers that they've made with resin is just mind-boggling. But we have a great show for you today because we're going to give you tips on maybe something you haven't thought of yet. But Rachel, fire away.
Alrighty, so today we are talking about basically selling at, like, not brick and mortar stores, but more so like craft fairs and things like that. So I guess one of your first questions is probably like, why is this a great side hustle? Why doing it in person over online? You know, this day and age, mostly everything's done online. So Ian, I would say that probably one of the best things about craft fairs is the low entry barrier. Like, it is so easy to get a little booth set up. Sometimes they're free, sometimes they cost a small fee, about like $100. And when you're thinking about how much you could make off of that, or just in terms of exposure and like longer payoff involved, I would say that's definitely an excellent thing. You can also start with small batches and basic supplies when it comes to doing a craft store, setup, pop-up shop. You know, those are really popular and people really like to be able to actually see before their own eyes the quality of your items. So not only that, but also it offers a flexible schedule, because if you look in your local area, you'll find that there are tons and tons of little opportunities to have a little pop-up tent, just like whatever, even just a stand with, like, it takes one table and your product and you standing behind that table. That's really all it takes. And you can sell on the weekends. You can create when you have time when it comes to creating resin. And it's really like we've had said with the people we've interviewed, some of them started off with very small spaces, like less than 12 by 12
That's
feet,
right.
Which you would think you need, but you really don't. I think she said like 4 by 8, which is skinny room.
Yeah, most people start in like their garage, or they're just doing like, you know, little bits here and there on the weekend. Put the kids to bed. I'll go and do like make some ring holders or something like that. Yeah, it's one of those great ones.
Yeah. And then another great thing about kind of getting in on the, as of right now, it's kind of niche. I mean, when you look it up online, sometimes it can seem like it's oversaturated, but realistically, it's a lot of the same people's different products, right?
And it's so global.
And it's global. So it's a smaller market, but it's got a high perceived value. So like resin art is typically seen as pretty premium and unique. You can customize it. You can make it so versatile. I know we've talked about in our other podcast. So I would argue to say that even though it might, like, by the time you get really good at it, it might not seem like it's as handcrafted and as special as it was in the beginning to you, you know, when you're spending so much time on one piece, but to other people, it still is. And it still has that unique effect.
That's correct.
And you can really, you know, do a service to your customers who need something specific. You're like, I've got just the thing. So other than that too, I would say, when it comes to the in-person stores versus online, is you do get that instant customer feedback. So
you'll
see people's faces, like their facial cues, just, you know, whether they're displeased with it when they pick it up in their hands, whether they're like excited to hold it and take it home with them, you know, kind of seeing like, oh, my friends would love this. Like all of that small human to human interaction, super important for a business. It's almost like your own guerrilla marketing.
That's right. Hey, but Rachel, the question then begs, right? You know, what are the popular items that sell well at these street fairs? Now, again, I have a friend who works in Pennsylvania. He has a winery called Homecoming Winery, little plug for him. And he goes to these street fairs and these craft fairs to let people sample his wine. He's got a real boutique winery, and he does great business at these things. And he was quite surprised by how well he actually does. And not only is it good sales, it's also good marketing as well. So thinking of things that will sell well in the resin industry, obviously, I think what you want to do is for the biggest items like wedding bouquets, memorials, is have a business card, have a flyer that you can give out to people, a QR code that goes to your website. So people can see that if you have an event like that coming up, that they can reach out to you. But I would say take smaller, like pocket sized trinkets, stick to the, you know, the single bill theory, $5, $10, $20. Don't break change. Don't make things difficult. Have a credit card processor if you can. A lot of phones, you can just put a little like widget on your phone for doing PayPal or doing like Apple Pay and things like that. You've probably seen that before, right, Rachel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So take things like coasters. Take things like trays, other little small things, ring holders. They sell really well, like jewelry, especially religious jewelry. If you go to a lot of these street fairs, little religious crosses. I know that we interviewed a lady from Rememberable Resin, Kerry, who does these beautiful light rosaries. Things like that, where you could sell it for $20, $50, $10 for just these different size things. Then also start thinking about like little dried flower things, like dried flowers in coasters. Start seeding within your customer base the idea that you can preserve flowers. But then I also think, and this is trending big time. I did an analytics run, Rachel, on Pinterest. And Christmas ornaments, Christmas coasters, Christmas-themed crafts are blowing up at the moment. So think of them as well. And Rachel, what mind's getting stuck on street fairs, but and craft fairs. But what are the other names that I know? There's other names out there of the type of things. Help me with this.
It's Callie
and Robert
from Wildflower Preservation, and this is our hyacinth frame, where we are able to frame wedding flowers or special event flowers in iCode epoxies of resin, and Robert frames it for us.
And use all natural wood. This is actually walnut. We also use white oak and teak.
And you can hang it up on a wall, and if you want to check this out, check out our website, wildflowerpreservation.com, or email us at wildflowerpreservation@gmail.com.
Yeah, no problem at all. So, like, you know, so street fairs, farmers markets are another
farmers
one. And I think people think farmers market and they think like the vegetables, but there's a lot of craft items, artisanal items, coffee, like physical items, like woodwork, just everything. So I think that resin definitely has a place in that market. Like holiday bazaars, if you're, you know, selling like anything religious, you could sell like Christmas crosses. I know people do like ornaments and buying them in person where you can see like, oh, like this is, you know, putting a face to the name, right? Of the brand. A lot of people like to support locally instead of buying something that they might not know is from China or like just through Amazon. Sometimes things are, you know, lackluster is the word
yeah,
that I'm thinking.
Right. Yeah.
So like community festivals, flea markets.
Flea markets is what I was thinking of. Yeah.
And flea markets are a really good place. They're similar to a farmer's market, except typically they're bigger and they are more often. Farmer's markets might occur once a week. Flea markets are probably occurring at least probably one, depending on location. I know there's smaller towns where it's like that's kind of more of a special thing. But if you're in a city like Phoenix, for instance, like I would say that like kind of local street fairs and flea markets, like we've got First Friday, so that's once a month, but there's at least one other pop-up shop a week happening, or even like maybe every other day here in the valley. So you could definitely find something.
Hey, you know what I was thinking of as well was wedding expos, because I know there was one here in Phoenix that they were going to do. So wedding expos, I think it could be a great idea, especially to show people what preservation looks like.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Kind of just bringing a few samples with you and showing, like, also I was thinking in regards to that, there's definitely a bunch of like eco fairs, like just kind of what green and safe for the planet, because, you know, we can't promise that every resin is safe for what's around you, but we can promise that the iCoat resin has a great formula that is eco-friendly, that doesn't, you know, doesn't have high emissions from a crazy factory or anything. It's handcrafted, it's veteran-owned, so very awesome, and a sustainable way of making art. So I know that that's definitely kind of going back to the high perceived value as, you know, seeing it as premium, a lot of people are seeking after things that are sustainable.
Yeah.
And also, I know that there are people who are getting married who are looking to fit that in. Like, it's really hard to find a Christian shirt that isn't polyester, you know?
Right, so
it's
exactly, kind of
like, it's really hard to find some wedding decorations that are sustainable. A lot of people are opting for burlap, which just... fun fact, I'm getting a burlap runner for my wedding aisle, which is interesting, like, because like who needs a whole rug, you know?
Right.
But that was just a little fun side note because I'm wedding planning now and there's so much to do.
Hey, I'm gonna ask you this though. Okay, you've gone to these fairs, but how do you get anyone to come to your booth? Like, it's not, especially if you're dealing with these little resin pieces, right? So it's, you know, I'm thinking, how do you get people to come there? You can, you're obviously going to have your bits and pieces on the table. You know, that's fine. But from a distance, no one knows what you've got. But maybe that's the key as well, is have it so people come over. But again, you could get maybe a backdrop or like some signage on your table, which has some pictures of some of the creations blown up a little bit. And, you know, that can be good. I was thinking for takeaways, you know, we were talking earlier about having things you could touch and feel. But also, like, if you had like little poems or stories that go with something, I know Rachel from Blossom and Rhyme does a... the rhyme is actually puts a poem in every one of her orders. And it's really, really... appreciated by people. So the story behind it is really good. And so I think that's really good. But okay, how do you price these things? Like, you know, because I know some of these things take a lot to do, some don't, but like, you know, how can we sort of give a bit of advice to people who are thinking, okay, I'm going to do this, but, you know, where does this fall in money wise?
You know, that's an excellent question. I think a lot of times people either underprice or overprice things, and there's not a good middle ground because it's hard to value your own time, right? Kind of, I think trial and error is definitely a good way to see is like, okay, when it comes to, well, don't underprice is how fast is this selling? And do you think that it's selling because it's just a hot ticket item? Or do you think it's selling because it's underpriced and it's seen as, oh, this is a cheaper product I can buy, you know, like let's say for instance there's a keychain and you're selling it for $3.50, right? Well, that might be, you know, a, like say it takes $2 to create that keychain, right? So you're like, well, I'm making $1.50, that's almost double what it costs, but it's like at the same time they're not just paying for the keychain. You need to make your money back in products, so you're doing that, but you also need to make sure that it's worth your time, and time is so expensive nowadays, where you put your time. And also paying for the expertise is another thing. So realistically, what you're charging $3.50 for, you could very much well probably charge $7 to $8 for that very same item. So you could do double what you think, and people would still buy it and see it as a more affordable item. So I definitely say that when something is handmade versus popped out in a factory, yeah, you're competing with those factories, but at the same time you're in a different ballpark. You can just see it over the fence, so you're like, oh, I'm competing, but you're not really, because handcrafted is different.
Hey Rachel, I just had a thought. If someone's selling coasters, maybe you do an idea where it's like Okay, if you pay for three, we'll give you the fourth one free, right?
Or, oh, yeah, I love that.
Or buy one, get one, if the price point still makes sure you make a profit. And hopefully everyone's done like some kind of pro forma, some Excel spreadsheet with, here's my input costs, including your time. You've said it on something really good with time, that they've inputted those things into there. So the actual sale price is making sure they make a profit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. It's like time, money back. You got to look at your price margins. If you're not looking at like your price margins and or your profit margins and making sure that, okay, am I not only making my money back? Is this worth my time? And not just how much you're making a day, but figure it out to a month and a year. What is your income? And would you be making this being a fry cook, you know, or would you be making this as an, like, look up the average artisan, you know, pay grade for whatever kind of thing that you're going into, whether it be coasters or whether it be ring holders, things like that, what they typically go for and kind of go from there. Like, that's a really good thing to think about. And I love the buy three, get the fourth free, because for me, automatically that makes me want to shop with somebody a bit more if they do kind of have like a sale and the essence of a sale, because it's barely anything. It's like you're making a good chunk of change from those three coasters, that throwing in that fourth one is at little cost to you, you know, both in time, you're already there doing it, may have it already created if it's not customized, right? So it's, you know, that's just a nice thing to do for your customers. Also just kind of have a mix of like those lower ticket items with the high ticket items. Like,
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Like Blossom and Rhyme, I know that they do smaller trinkets for the actual wedding preservation, but they also have the big full bouquets. Those are hundreds of dollars because of the time and effort that it takes to do that. With a whole entire bouquet, it takes the shipping, they have to dry it out, they have to make sure they don't break it. It's very very tedious task versus taking some of those petals, taking them off, letting those dry, and putting that in like a coaster, you know, which is like 30 to like hundreds of dollars. So it's nice to have you reach more people when you have low to high prices.
I agree. Now, Rachel, I'm gonna throw in my marketing brain here, because, you know, it's what I've been doing for over 30 years. And mm-hmm. I'm just gonna preach to the choir out here for everyone listening who's thinking this is a great idea, but maybe there's something missing. And this is the bit we'll wrap it all up, which is, when you're at these street fairs, that one interaction, and this is where my friend with the winery does a really good job, for every person he sells, he lets them know where his winery is, what mm-hmm. his website is, and he gives them a coupon to come back next time.
Oh, yeah. See, that'll get me to come back personally. I love coupons.
Exactly, right? You know, people, when you give someone a 10% off coupon or some coupon code, they think that without using it, they're actually losing money, right? So it's a mental game. So collect their email, get them to follow you on social media if you've got a big social media following, right? Mm-hmm. Give them those coupon codes. You know, make sure that, like we said earlier, that you're letting them know that you do weddings and memorials, bridesmaids gifts, gifts for the family, things mm-hmm. that are unique and will have that, you know, wedding or celebration remembered. Make sure you also add to your website and to your events on like LinkedIn and things like that, the different fairs you go into, the different expos you go into, like include all that. And just be really, really personable with people. Like, I mean, be the sort of person where they're like, go, he was really cool, she was really cool, I'm glad I spent money with that person. So that's mm-hmm. my marketing brain throwing in here. And Rachel, I'll let you, any last thoughts to wrap this up?
Yeah, so I was just thinking, like, oftentimes I'm a perfectionist, so sometimes I feel like a little bit stuck if something's not perfect, but you do not need to be perfect to start selling anything resin,
right?
There are a couple quirks to work out. Luckily, we've troubleshooted a lot of those issues that you may run into previously on the podcast. So if you guys are interested in selling, and you kind of are starting, but you're having some issues, feel free to look through the episodes. I'm pretty sure we made it pretty apparent with the title. I can't remember which episode it was, maybe like 12 or 13 or something like that. But just, you know, you really don't have to be perfect to start selling, and everything is a learning experience. So even if sales are slow, just keep building that brand awareness, keep it up, you know, come up with QR code, even stickers that you can like stick around your city. If you, you know, like stick it to the bus stop, stick it to the coffee stand, like stick it to the, you know, like if you live in a city with a subway, stick it on the subway. Like seriously, like leave some pieces of paper places where, you know, people will see them. Like that's, you know,
that's guerrilla marketing, right?
On the exactly. Yeah, might be some bit of a hustle, but you know, hey, that's what having a business is. So you do have to hustle. And then, you know, start small, reinvest your profits and just grow steadily. You know, they do say slow and steady wins the race.
The hare
did not win. So I think that's a good lesson to be reminded of. I think often as adults, we want to get things done as quick as possible. But we just need to remember that classic childhood story of like, yeah, take it slow and you'll see that payoff eventually. And, you know, just be, have good ethics. And most of the time, if you put an effort and ethics together, you've got a great business. So
that's,
I think
right.
That's really my 2 cents.
Now, you know, I would say to people, you brought it up about all the other episodes. For anyone who's just jumped in on this episode or has only listened to a few, you got to go back and listen to some of these interviews, because what you'll get from these interviews is something that will blow your mind. You had people starting who were down in the dumps, broke, who became basically millionaires doing this. And this isn't BS. It's like their story, not our story. And it's beautiful to see that people found real value. They found purpose in doing this. So go back and listen to the episodes. You know, whether you work with us or you work with someone else, this will give you most amazing information about this industry. And it'll give you something to do. Rachel, thank you so much again for today. And to our guests, until next time, Resin Mastery, Explore an iCode Epoxy. Rachel, we'll see you again next time.
Okay, see you guys. Have a good one.